Go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 100. Psalms chapter number 100 is one of my favorite passages to look at near Thanksgiving. And I know we looked at it a little bit even at a luncheon this past week. But I do want to start off here in Psalms chapter number 100. The Bible tells us a lot about being thankful. And with our Thanksgiving season, it's crazy to think how Thanksgiving's already here and that 2018's almost over. The Bible speaks a lot about being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So if you're ever wondering what God wants you to do, His will for your life is to be thankful. It even says, "In everything give thanks." Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Psalms 150, verse 6, "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Over and over in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, it talks about being thankful and singing the praises of God and coming before God's presence with praise. Psalms chapter 100, I think, always puts things in a good perspective and helps us understand some really important truths. This morning's message is intended to help us encourage to be thankful. But for some reason, there's people that are unthankful. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that have some different things that cause them to be unthankful. So I like to identify some of the things that can ruin your thankfulness. Just to look at a couple of things that are enemies of your thankfulness. Things that can take you from a thankful spirit to a spirit of unthankfulness. Things that can take you from a spirit of gratitude to a spirit of ingratitude. But just to kind of put a little bit of perspective in here, let's look at this famous Psalms in Psalms 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And I like that verse because it says, "Make a joyful noise." If you ever heard me sing before, it's definitely a noise, but it's also joyful. So it is a noise. And so I use that verse lots of times when somebody hears me singing. It says, "Make a joyful noise." Doesn't that say it has to be a good noise? It's nicer to listen to a good noise, that's for sure. But joyful is what God wants to hear. And I'm thankful for all the people that sing in our church. And I think they do it in a very talented way. But it's the joy of God is the most important thing when we're hearing the singing. "All ye lands," not just some. And then it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." So it goes past just the receiving, being thankful when you receive things, being thankful for just normal things. He says, "Serve him with gladness." And then it continues, "Come before his presence with singing." And that's one of the wonderful ways to get into God's presence. And a joyful noise of singing and song is all throughout the Psalms. Verse number 3 kind of puts a perspective for life for me. Verse number 2 says, "Well, why should I make a joyful noise? Why should I serve him with gladness? Why should I come into his presence with singing?" That's good for some people. That's just not what I want. Verse number 3 tells you, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." And there's a perspective, you know, there is one that's God. And then he even goes a step farther and says, "It is he that hath made us." So, well, who says he's God? What right does he have to us? And here's the point is, he's made you. And because he's made you, it continues on, "and not we ourselves." Many times we put ourselves at a higher level and we want things our own ways. And you say, well, that's your perspective and that's what you want to say and that's how you want to feel. But he goes and says, "Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves." He puts us in our place and says, now remember this, it's not about you. You did not create yourself. I am God and you need to learn to recognize me as God and not consider yourself as God. And then he goes to saying, we are his people. There's a belonging there. We belong to him. He is our creator. He has created us. And then he goes even a step farther and says, the sheep of his pasture. Talking about we are supposed to be led by him. He is our shepherd. He leads us and he guides us. As the series we've been going through on Sunday morning, how did you end up in certain spots? We looked at David's life and looked at Joseph's life and looked at part of Elijah's life and the children of Israel. All those different people in Daniel's life had been led by the Lord, and those that recognized it and those that saw it, those that saw him as God and did not try to change the circumstances for themselves, and they praised him and worshiped him, you know what? Their lives turned out to be a spot where they were shepherd, they were sheep being led as a shepherd. It's amazing if we just give our lives over to the Lord where he will take us. We might not always understand it, just like Joseph had to face betrayal and being sold into slavery, to prison, to being forgotten. But look at where he ended up. And the same thing with David and Daniel. Even though they faced circumstances and hardships in their lives, as they looked unto Jesus, like our choir sung about, they were able to be. How did you get there, David? And how did you get there, Daniel? How did you get there, Joseph? It's because they recognize you're God. I'm not God. You're God. And you're the one that made me. And you're the one has given me this life. I belong to God. We are not only his people, but he is our shepherd. He leads us. He guides us. And he establishes those perspectives. And then he enters in verse number 4. Then he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And he continues on and says, look, so because I am God and because I am your shepherd and I'm the one that leading you and that you belong to me, then praise me. Be thankful. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him. Be thankful unto God. You can always be thankful unto him. And then bless his name. And then in verse number 5, it shows us it's not that we're not serving some type of cruel God. We're not serving some type of God that's angry with us. It says verse number 5, for the Lord is good. Even if he wasn't good, he's still God, he still made us, and we should be rejoicing. But we can rejoice and we can be thankful because he is good. And his mercy is everlasting, which means it lasts forever. And his truth, it endures for all generations. It's not just for a little while. The truth that you have in your hands in the word of God, it will endure for all generations. Amazing that a God that inspired this word that can be used throughout all the generations and even future generations. So there's some clear commandments that we mentioned earlier, and clear commandments in the Bible. We're supposed to be thankful. So how come we're not sometimes? And today I'd like to look at three different things, and these are maybe three different things we don't always think about. Because the thing that that can be the most challenging are the things that we don't consider and don't even understand that this may be something that's attacking us. So there's three different things I'd like to think about that robs us of our joy, or that takes us from being thankful to unthankful, or takes us from being a heart of gratitude to a heart of ingratitude. On Thanksgiving Day, as we sit around a table, it's easy to share blessings. It's easy to feel thankful because we're brought to that moment and said, you're supposed to be thankful, and here's the many reasons why. And as you consider and as you remember, you don't forget. But there is times in our lives when we don't have a grateful spirit, and there are times in life where we have to work to be grateful. We have to work to remind ourselves that he's God, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep of his pasture. And I like to identify a couple of those things, and maybe it'll be a help for you and a blessing for you this upcoming week. Three different things. The first thing I want you to think about is the word comparison. Comparison. Pastor, how can comparison be something that would take away our thankfulness? At my house, you know, we have my wife, and then they have myself and my two boys. Dinner time comes around, and my wife does a wonderful job cooking, and she's a huge blessing, and she makes these meals, and most nights she's there, and there's meats and potatoes, because that's what's supposed to be in a dinner, right? Meat and potatoes, that's what we like, that's why. But there's meat, potatoes, vegetables. Sometimes the vegetables are disgusting, but she puts broccoli on there and lima beans, but whatever. But it's amazing. Normally they put my plate out first, and I don't know why, but they just do. Sometimes they put my plate, and she says, "Here's your dad's plate." And she sits there, and I look at it, and it looks fantastic. It looks wonderful. And then Christian's plate comes out, and then Andrew's plate comes out, And, you know, I was really thankful when I saw my plate. But then if I see Andrew has a little bit more corn or mashed potatoes or a little bit more meat than mine, I'll ask, how come he gets more than I do? You might think that sounds silly, and it is most of the time joking. We do it now to try to just make my wife feel good. She hates it when we do that. She takes the food off of her plate and says, here, you can have more. But it went from the spot of being thankful for what I had. And then when I looked at somebody else, and I thought somebody else had more than I did, or someone else got more than I got, then I went from being thankful for what I had and I compared it to someone else. Instead of being thankful for what I had, I wanted what someone else wanted. And that's a very dangerous thing when it comes to somebody robbing our joy and robbing our thankfulness. Is that when we take what the Lord has given us and we're thankful for it and we have that in our heart and our mind, you know, this is good. This is something that the Lord's given me and I'm thankful for it. But when I start comparing it to someone else got, sometimes it makes you feel inadequate. Sometimes it can make you feel boastful. Sometimes it can make you feel lacking. All of those things will kill a spirit of gratefulness. When we only see a small portion of other people's lives, we should be very careful not to compare ourselves to someone else. It's important to understand the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You would be amazed at some of the things I've heard from individuals coming out of people's mouths. And that they compare, well, why can't I have that nice of a car? Or why can't I have that nice of a house? I've even heard people say, man, I wish I had their husband, and I wish I had their wives. And I thought in my mind, if you knew what that person had to live with, you would not want that. You do not understand. You do not always understand when you're comparing. You don't understand what all the things that that person is going through. I know some of you think very highly of my sons, and I've had, I remember specifically one lady coming to me, and she says, well, your sons are, and they begin to talk about how, you know, how they thought they were really good and perfect, and I says, you don't live with them. You don't know them. And he says, well, if my child was like that, and I took him to that verse and says, you know, God gives us what he wants us to have. And when God gives us what we want to have, if we're thankful and content with what God's given us, we'll come to that realization that he is God. And he is the one that's made us. We have not made ourselves. And we'll come to this moment and we'll understand this, that we are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. And I'm going to try to use some different Bible characters when we think about this. I think about the children of Israel, and I think about when they had been brought out of the land of Egypt. God brought them out with the 10 plagues. We looked at that in one of our series about what are you doing? And we looked at that thought of the child asking their parent, Mom, Dad, why are we wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years? How did we get here and wandering around the wilderness for 40 years? In those 40 years, you would be amazed by some of their responses about the food they had. Even when they first came out of the nation of Israel, and in Exodus 16:3, it says, and the children of Israel said unto him, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were there. God had just delivered them from slavery. They cried out for God because the Bible says that he heard their cries, and they had been living under slavery for so many years. It's so much that the Egyptians began to kill all the baby boys, and they were a hard taskmasters. They would have to work from sun up to sundown and have to meet certain type of requirements just in order to be able to live and survive. God miraculously sends 10 different plagues. God miraculously leads them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. God miraculously opens up the Red Sea. God miraculously shows them who he is on the Mount Sinai and the glory of the Lord. And they're saying, boy, I remember back when we were in Egypt and we got to eat all the bread we wanted to, and they forgot all those other things that were bad. And then later on, they get to the promised land, and because of their lack of faith, and which was the reason why they were wandering around for 40 years, because of their lack of faith, they're stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, and they make this comment. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." God miraculously gave them manna from heaven, and I've never seen God do anything bad or wrong. I'm guessing that manna tasted just fine. And God had numerous times had given them water, even from a rock on two different occasions. God had done things for them, but they were saying, "Well, I remember back in Egypt, we used to get to have cucumbers, and we used to have vegetables, and we used to get to have that flesh." But they were out of bondage. And they were living a life that was free. And they were saying, "I remember." And they were comparing the two. But they forgot all the bad things that were going on that was attached to that meat and attached to those other things. They say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" I'm telling you, if you spend your life comparing yourself and the things you have to other people, you're not going to be a thankful person. You're not going to be thankful. And that's one of those things that are a little bit dangerous, and because you don't always see it. It's easy for us to do that. It's easy to say, "Well, I wish I could have this," or "I wish I could have that." I think it's one of those dangers to watching HGTV so much, right? You know how you ladies like that HGTV, right? You were happy and fine with your house, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching, you know, HGTV and fixing up your house. So I'm not preaching against that. Don't think that. I've even watched it a few times myself. It's interesting how they can take this old house and make it look brand new. But sometimes when you start comparing your house to the houses you see on TV and you turn around, "Oh, that would be nice. I like to have that." And instead of being thankful for the house, that everything was good and everything was fine, everything was right, now I got to change this and I got to change that. And there's nothing wrong with improving your house, and there's nothing wrong with having the opportunity to keep updating your house. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, if you get an unthankful spirit by watching something on TV saying, "Man, I wish I had that," and cause you to have the wrong reactions to your house, you shouldn't watch it then. And because of the fact that when you compare something to something else, it can cause you to have a spirit of unthankfulness. It's an enemy of it. It tries to rob you of that joy. And as I said, people do that. I wish I went to that church, or I wish I had that husband, I wish I had that wife, that child, that house, or I wish I remember, and you begin doing comparisons. It's a very dangerous thing, because you lose sight of the fact that He's God, He's the one that's made you, He is your shepherd, He is the one you belong to. So the first thing is comparison. Second thing is, and probably not another one you would expect, it's expectation. Expectation. Someone once wisely said, "The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing." Expectations rob our joy and they damage our relationships. God give all of our expectations over to God, and He'll never disappoint you. The Bible says in Psalm 62:5, "My soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for my expectation is from Him." Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Luke chapter number 9. In Luke chapter number 9, we have the story about the disciples. And we learned a little bit this morning in Sunday school about Judas Iscariot and talked about the expectation I felt like he wanted and that he had. I say, "Pastor, what's wrong with expecting things?" Well, we live in a day and a time where there's a lot of people that feel like they're entitled to certain things. They expect things. If they do not get what they expect, they become unhappy. They become unsatisfied. Think about it this way. At Christmas time, many times people leave a gift for their child underneath the Christmas tree. And that child, many times, if they had not asked for anything or did not expect anything, if they opened up that gift and they were just happy to receive something. You remember what that was like when you were a kid? I mean, nowadays, I know it's all about lists. I know about we want to get what you want. And I understand there's some wisdom to that, to make sure that you kind of understand what they might like. But kids sometimes nowadays, they feel like, "If I don't get this, I'm not going to be happy." And I've seen that and understand that. And you know why? It's because they're expecting it. So Christmas morning comes, and if they don't get that Easy Bake Oven. That's the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know, they even still make Easy Bake Ovens. Or, you know, if they didn't get that basketball or that football or that Nintendo or that PlayStation or that whatever the gifts are that given, they were expecting something when they went to bed on Christmas Eve night. They get up in the morning time, they open up a gift, and they look sad. They didn't get what they wanted. It's because they expected something, but that's not the whole point of giving, is it? We know that's wrong. We know it's about the birth of Jesus, and anything that we get, any type of gift that we get, should be something that we're thankful for. But when we begin to start expecting things, you know what happens? It takes away our thankfulness. When we start expecting things to be a certain way, and when we don't get things our way, you know what happens? We begin to become unthankful about things. Well, I expected it was going to happen this way, and I expected it was. The disciples expected that Jesus was getting ready to become king. The disciples thought that he was going to establish the kingdom that day, and numerous times in the Gospels, we see them arguing amongst one another who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They were sitting there saying, they were talking about even one of their mothers went and says, let my son sit on the right hand and the left hand. They were expecting to rule and to reign with Jesus, which they will someday, but they were expecting it then. And when it didn't turn out the way they expected, they were unthankful. Look what it says in chapter number 9. We're not going to take time for the whole story just for sake of time. It says, verse 44, let these sayings sink down into your ears. I love that phrase. He's talking to his disciples. He knows they're not going to listen to him. He says, now listen, and listen good. Let it sink deep down in your ears. You ever had to tell your kid, now pay attention, listen to me. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And he's talking about dying on the cross. But in verse number 46, it says, then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. So he's talking about dying, and it says in verse 45, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, for they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him that saying. They weren't interested in learning what Jesus had said. They were fearful of that, but they were more worried and expecting that Jesus was going to be king, and they were expecting that they're going to get to rule and reign with him. I think that's one of the reasons why Judas betrayed Jesus. He was expecting something. He was attaching himself to Jesus because he was going to be king and he was going to get to rule with Jesus. And when he realized that at Mary of Bethany's house and he realized that Jesus was not establishing his kingdom that way, he went on to the religious leaders and he says, what will you give me if I deliver him unto you? He says, what will you give me? I want something. Because he was trying to get something. He was expecting something that Jesus wasn't going to give him. And these disciples had to learn an important truth, that what Jesus had planned for them was something completely different than what they were thinking. Take your Bible to Luke chapter number 10. In Luke chapter number 10, it's not talking about raising up kingdoms. Instead, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed others 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. And he says, therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And he began to give them a job to do. It wasn't what they had expected. And instead, he had a work for them to do. They returned from this. Look what it says in verse number 16. Verse number 16, he says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Not notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So what the scripture is saying here is the disciples intended something. Some of them seemed like at the beginning were following for this for the political freedom and the ability to rule. And they were arguing, even though when Jesus had just said, I'm getting ready to be given into the hands of men, they're arguing who's going to be the greatest. They missed the whole point. Jesus sends them out on a mission in chapter number 10. And they come back and they were excited. Guess what? The devils even had to listen to us. Guess in the beginning, he says, look, don't rejoice in the fact that devils have to listen to you. Rejoice in this, Don't lose this thought that your names are written down in heaven. There is an expectation that we have, and that's a hope we have in God. But when we go outside of what God has promised us and go outside of what God has planned for us, you know what happens? We become unthankful when things don't turn out the way we think they should. The scary thing about this one is it's rooted in most of our hearts, if not all our hearts. We have expectations. We have expectations when we feel like that you were expecting something for dinner and didn't get it. Maybe expecting something to happen at a church service and didn't happen. I was expecting them to sing this song, and I became disappointed because they didn't sing that song. It takes our heart out, the attitude of the song that was sung and the wonderful service we have. We're not thankful for it. Instead, we're unthankful because of the fact that it didn't go the way I thought it would. I'm unthankful in the idea that I was expecting that person to come by and show up, and we lose the thankfulness of all the other people that came and visited. It's sort of like it's coming into a service and you saying, man, I am really unthankful. I was unhappy that I was thinking that that person was going to come and that person maybe got the right heart right with God, but they missed the other 100 people that showed up. We talked about the story about Elijah, how he ran to that place. He was fearful of what Jezebel was going to do. He even got to that spot underneath that tree and told the Lord, just go ahead and kill me. It's not worth it. He was expecting that Jezebel was going to get right with God. And when that did not happen, he became unthankful for all the things that happened the day before at Mount Carmel. The fire coming down from heaven. All those thousands of people saying, yes, he is God. Yes, we believe in the killing of all the false prophets. He runs because what he expected that was going to happen just didn't happen. He became to the point that he forgot all the benefits. He forgot all the blessings. He forgot all the good things that happened. And he became to the point he expected something. And when it didn't happen, he became unthankful. Church, I want you to get to this. God does have things that we should be rejoicing in. God does have promises and hope for things that we can expect. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. If we have put our faith and trust in the one and true living God, that we can expect that he's going to take us to his home in heaven. He's promised us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's promised us those things, but he hasn't promised us everything. And when we expect certain things and we make that part of whether or not we're going to be thankful and whether or not we're going to be rejoicing and whether or not we're going to find our happiness and joy in God, we lose that happiness when things don't turn out the way we think they should. Like this example here. They were rejoicing about the spirits that had to be subject unto them. What happens today when the spirits aren't subject to them anymore? He says, you can rejoice in something that you know is going to be a guarantee, is that your names are written in heaven. That meaning, I think that's referring to the fact that names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that anyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ has an eternal home in heaven, and you can do that this morning if you've never done that before. There are things that we can rejoice in, we can expect, but we should not live our lives in a state of expectation and the idea that things should go the way I want them to do or I expect them to go, and if they do not go my way, I'm going to throw a fit and I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be unthankful. I'm going to be disappointed. The Bible says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. If your expectation is with me, you're going to be disappointed sometime. If your expectation is in a human, sometimes they're going to fail you. But if your expectation is in God as the one who has made us, not we ourselves, we are his people and he is our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. If we depend upon him, we can always have a joyous heart. The third thing, and take your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Guess a few pages over, Luke chapter 17. The third thing, and this is something if I was asking people what's something that can rob you from your thankfulness, I think some people would say a covetous spirit, in which I know that can be similar to comparing. The third thing, I think, is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. We forget. And the rush to accomplish so many things, we just sometimes forget to meditate on God's goodness and the victories along the way. Tonight we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Why does he have to tell us that? It's because we're going to forget. Why does he say we need to set up, we need to institute this, and we need to perform this service? It's because if we don't do that, we won't take the time that's needed many times to remember to do that. We're prone to hurry through some of the most significant events and with some of the most important people in our lives, instead of taking time to remember the Lord and his goodness. We instead just go from one thing to the next thing. Spending maybe a few minutes to reflect on God's goodness will strengthen our gratefulness and strengthen our thankfulness. I think if you experience and you do the Lord's Supper and you have a heart that's clean and right and you consider the things that you're supposed to meditate on, that Christ died and that Christ was buried and that Christ rose again, what the juice represents and what the bread represents, you're going to walk away a thankful people. Why is that? Because you remembered. You remember what God did. Look what it says in Luke chapter 17. And I know this is probably the famous story when people talk about Thanksgiving. And it talks about the leopards that were healed. And it says, and they lifted up their voices, these are the leopards, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They are asking Jesus to do something for them. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they were going to go to the priests, like Jesus said, and they were cleansed. Verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. It says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So I know that the leopards were listening to what Jesus said, but he remarks about this one turning around giving glory to God. Now, do you think they were unthankful? I'm sure they were thankful they were healed, but they were too busy to remember to give thanks. Does it mean that we're unthankful for our salvation just because we don't say it? I don't think that's the case. I think we're thankful. But God is the one that extends that and says, enter my courts with praise, with thanksgiving. God is the one that gives us the commandments in those verses that we learned at to begin with. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endure forever. Just a page over in Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, the Bible's saying there, he's saying, don't forget the benefits that God, that you have as being a child of God, as you have as a believer in God. Now, I want to just encourage you today, be a thankful people. And I know we're getting ready to go to Thanksgiving, and we're going to think, of course I'm thankful, and we're sitting around a table and maybe discussing different things we're thankful for. It's easy to be thankful that day. But let's be thankful all the time. Let's be careful not to be in comparison. When those Black Friday ads come out and you're looking through those things and you're saying, man, I wish I could have that, or I wish I could have that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing shopping when it comes to trying to save money and doing things a wise way. I'm just saying, be careful what's in your heart, because it's an enemy. They're trying to rob your thankfulness when you compare what God has given you, what he wants you to have, compared to something that your flesh wants. That can take away your thankfulness. When you expect to get something and you don't get it, you know what happens? That takes us from being a thankful person to a person that becomes unthankful because it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. And when we forget all the benefits, when we get so busy that we forget to do the things God wants us to do, which is enter into his courts with thanksgiving, enter into his gates with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, just a real quick thought at the end. You say, Pastor, what is those benefits he's talking about in 103, verse 2? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, this is a Psalm of David. I believe David, as a child of God, a believer in God, had his faith in God. Because he had his faith in God, there was benefits. And as every believer in this room knows, that there's benefits to being a Christian. But that does not mean every person in this room is a believer. The Bible said in Psalms 100, when we said, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." We all were created by God. It began with Adam and Eve, and we've all been created by God, and we are all God's creatures. He's created us, but he's not all our father. He's not all of our fathers. The Bible says that he has given us the ability to believe and to become a son of God in John chapter 1, but not all have believed. If you're here today and you say, "Well, I'm not sure if God is my father. I'm not sure if I am what we would consider a Christian. I'm not sure if I died today that I would go to heaven." Let me explain to you for a second or two how you can be sure and how you can go to heaven. Yesterday, I spoke at Miss Sandy's memorial service, and we talked some very simply, gave the gospel, what the Bible says, why you should be concerned about this. We are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have done wrong. We've all either lied or had a wicked thought or stolen something. Maybe we've done all those things, but someday when we stand before God, we're going to be guilty. But God commendeth his love, and the fact that while we are yet sinners, God commended his love toward us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw our great need, and that we are all sinners, and that we all fall short of the glory of God, and that we were all guilty before God, and someday we will have to stand before God in judgment, and that it's going to be rendered that we are guilty. But Jesus came to this world to die for our sins, and to pay our sin penalty for us. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, believing that Jesus Christ, saying that Jesus Christ died on that cross to take our sin for us. He made him who knew no sin, sin for us, so that someday we could have his righteousness, and that we could stand before God instead of guilty, instead stand in the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt for us so we could have a way to go to heaven. How do you do that? It's by recognizing the fact that you're a sinner and realizing your sin has separated you from God, and that Jesus Christ died for that sin. He paid that sin debt, and putting your faith and trust in him. And if you're not sure if you died today, did you go to heaven? I'd love to have somebody take a Bible and can show you straight from the scripture what it means to be saved on your way to heaven, to have everlasting life. Because when we begin to discuss the benefits that we see in Psalms 103, verse number 2, there's a benefit of the Holy Spirit of God. There's a benefit of eternal life. There's a benefit of being able to talk to God and be able to have the Holy Spirit of God enlighten the scriptures to us. There is so much, the peace that passeth all understanding, the fact that he's never going to leave us and never going to forsake us. We serve a God, as it said in Psalms 100, that is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generations. But not all is going to go to heaven someday. The Bible says that. The Bible speaks of that. The Bible is clear about that. As those who have put their faith and trust in him are those who will get to go to heaven. Have you ever done that? Second, we're getting ready to have an invitation. You say, what's an invitation? It's a public invitation for people that God's spoken to their heart to come forward and pray at an altar. But if you're not sure you're saved, I'd love for you to come forward and we can have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. The majority of the message was meant to people that just help them to be thankful. Guard against things like comparing. Guard against things that like expectation. Guard against forgetting to give God the time he so richly deserves. And remembering that he is good. And remembering that he is God. And that he's the one that made us. We have not made ourselves. We didn't. We're not our own gods. It's not based on what we want done. It's based off of what he decides and what he determines and what he desires from us. And he says, I want you to be thankful in all things. In everything, give thanks. You say, well, how do you do that? Sometimes it's hard. But as we remember that God is good, remember that his mercy is everlasting, and we remember that we are the sheep of his pasture, that he's maybe leading us through a hard time, a difficult time, but he's the one that's leading us, and we're going to keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, the keeper of our souls. This morning, Are you a thankful person? Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but throughout the year. That's what God desires. Tonight we're going to look at one more thing that robs our thankfulness or ruins our thankfulness as we consider worry. We're going to look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number, I believe it's verse number 6, when it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." Worry is something that will rob your thankfulness. Guard against it. Come tonight and we'll look at how we can be thankful no matter what the circumstances are. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.